And now we're going to go to Africa. Several thousand Rwandan soldiers are now in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where United Nations peacekeepers are monitoring the newest development in this long-lasting African war. Conservative estimates say the war has cost the lives of over 5 million people the past decade, most from hunger and destitution. But this time, stunningly, the Congolese government said it had invited the Rwandan army in to help disarm rebel forces, including Tutsi forces they claim are responsible for the 1994 Rwanda genocide. We go live to Kigali right now to journalist Jeffrey Mutagoma. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
I see there's a bit of a delay there. Can you tell us what are government officials saying about this latest offensive with the Rwandan army?
Well, not much has really been said on the side of the Rwandan government, because they say that the Congolese government invited them to come and take part in the disarmament process, and that it's only the Congolese government who will be talking about what is happening in their country. But the Rwandan government so far has not made any official comment on it.
Is there any sense among those who are discussing this at this point, besides the government, that there is some hope that perhaps hostilities will be brought to an end?
Indeed, there is, because yesterday when I was moving around the streets of Kigali, I saw almost every group that was discussing around town, you know, talking about it, saying that now that the Rwandan government has sent its troops there and are going to disarm the Hutu rebels in the eastern part of the country, which has been a major reason why Rwanda and Congo have been disagreeing in the past, that now peace is going to come back between the two countries. They are saying that, some of them are saying that it was long overdue, that if perhaps the Rwandan troops had gone there in agreement with the Congolese government and, you know, dealt with this whole issue from the beginning, perhaps it would have stopped earlier.
Jeffrey Mutagoma, thank you so much for joining us today. Jeffrey is reporting from Kigali, Rwanda. And now we go to BBC World Affairs correspondent Mark Doyle, who's with us now from London. Welcome, Mark.
Hello there. Hi.
At first glance, this would actually seem like a good idea, which is the Rwandan government gets an opportunity to go after those they say are responsible for the Rwanda genocide. And on the other side, you've got the Congolese government that's been fighting rebels since August, and they want to break up those rebel forces, those Tutsi rebel forces. And so a win-win, but it's far more complicated than that, right?
Well, you're right in thinking that there are two elements to this. I've visited Congo many times over the years, and what's happened is an absolutely seismic shift in the politics of the region. For the Congolese to invite the Rwandan army into their country openly and officially like this is just absolutely extraordinary to
Stunning.
Anybody who's
Stunning.
Been in the region. That's because Rwanda and Congo have been basically fighting a proxy war for the last 15 years, and for some of that period, they've been fighting an actual war, and Rwandan troops invaded Congo twice to change the government. Now, what's happened is that the Congolese government has realized that its army, which is in such disarray, cannot deal with the rebels in the east, either the Tutsi rebels, who are opposed to the Congolese government, or the Hutu rebels, who are Rwandan, and the Congolese government has used as allies in the past. So they've invited the Rwandans in, but it's a situation which is replete with political danger for the government in Kinshasa and for the Rwandan government itself.
Can you describe how the governments are explaining what this offensive is before we get to some of the details that you just mentioned?
Well, as you've heard from Jeffrey there, the Rwandans are not saying very much at all, except that they've been invited by the Congolese and that they will be under Congolese command. Now, no one believes that, because the Rwandan army is by far the most powerful army in the region, and the Congolese government army is in great disarray, not to say not very good army at all. So basically, this is a Rwandan operation. But the Congolese, to save face, are saying that they're in charge of it, that they've invited the Rwandans in as military observers. Well, 3,000 or 4,000 military observers with AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades. I'm not sure that many people are going to believe that. They're there to deal with the Hutu rebels, and that's what the Rwandans intend to do.
And can you talk a little bit more about why you believe it is an explosive situation? Clearly, there's been ongoing fighting there between the rebels and the Congolese government since August. I suspect that most Congolese are not thrilled to hear, in addition to that, now you've got the Rwandan forces in country.
Well, exactly. I mean, you have to distinguish between the different rebel groups, I'm afraid. It is a little bit complicated, but to simplify it, basically, there are ethnic Tutsi rebels who are allies of the Rwandan government, which is Tutsi-dominated, and those Tutsi rebels, the Congolese Tutsi rebels, have been fighting against the government in Kinshasa. Meanwhile, you have Hutu rebels who are opposed to the government in Rwanda, who the Rwandan government says are still a threat to them. Now, the Rwandans will go in and deal with the Hutu rebels, or at least they'll try to. They've tried it in the past, and it's just led to complete chaos. But that's what they say they're going to try and do. But meanwhile, on the other side of the equation, it appears that something is happening with the Rwandans potentially even dealing with the Tutsi rebels as well, which is perhaps the quid pro quo which the Congolese government has negotiated. So we'll have to wait and see. But the fact is that in the late 90s and early 2000s, Rwanda invaded Congo in order to try and deal with these Hutu rebels, and they signally failed to do so. They just hid in the forests, dug up the gold, created chaos, and the rebels are still there. So if the Rwandans couldn't do it by openly invading, it's most unclear what they can do in cooperation with the Congolese government, which, as I say, is not a particularly doesn't have a particularly strong army at all.
Last and quick question to you, Mark. Do you agree with Jeffrey that perhaps, though, given all of these conflicting elements, that there is perhaps some hope for some resolution of some of them?
Yes, it is potentially a good thing if it leads to better relations between Congo and Rwanda. But in the past, initiatives like this, I'm afraid, have just led to more chaos.
Mark Doyle, thanks for your time and your insight. Mark Doyle is a BBC World Affairs correspondent, and he was coming to us from London.
So we've been talking about faith and politics, and your takeaway comes from a man of the cloth.
Listen, you're all part of this, as he called it, the patchwork quilt, and I think he wants to be inclusive. I think it also reflects, or at least is indicative, of a new style of governing.
That's Randall Balmer, professor of American religious history at Barnard College and author of God in the White House, talking, of course, about President Obama's mention of non-believers in his inauguration speech, a mention that had some of you thinking he was talking directly to you.
Hi, this is Taggart calling from Brooklyn. They were talking to me. I grew up as a minister's son at this last administration. I feel like we're slipping into the dark ages. So it was talking to me.
We're hearing from a lot of you non-believers. We also want to hear what you believers thought as well. Everybody was mentioned in that speech, and from the invocation to the benediction, it was all about issues of faith. Did Obama answer your prayers on Tuesday or strike fear in your heart when he mentioned non-believers or any other religious affiliation? Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. There's more on the new administration, the cabinet, and the policies of President Obama on our website at thetakeaway.org. We're always on. If you missed anything, listen to Randall Balmer again. Take our podcast to go. Subscribe at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes.
I'm Adoree Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.